Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the King of All Kings podcast.
Street Vibes.
Hosted by Kenny Caraway and Jason Jones.
Yeah. We are, well, you guys aren't hearing this live. Obviously, we're recording it live, but you're not hearing it live. It's always something when I intro the show. It's always something, man. But either way, it's Jason, Street Vibes.
This is the AI of Jason talking. This is not really Jason. The AI will give you exactly what Jason would say.
I don't fool with nothing AI or computers, you know, robots, none of that. I don't do that, man.
Only AI I fool with is Allen Iverson.
That's it, man.
I don't have any friends with AI initials, so I don't think I offended anyone. But watch one of my friends hit me up. Hold up, you don't like me?
Yeah, man. Look, man, we don't do nothing with AI, with computers, with robots, none of that other stuff, man, because they're doing too much. They're doing too much, Jason. This whole robots thing. Look, man, they're going to take over at some point. I don't want to be around. I just hope it's a long term.
They got dudes taking robots on dates.
Come on, man. And they just keep doing it. They just keep like enhancing this whole robot thing. Like it's all fun. Like it's all good. No, it's not all good. You're going to take over at some point. Like I said, I don't want to be anywhere around when it goes down. I really don't. If you haven't noticed, you're listening to J Street Vibes. The main man, Kenny Caraway, ESPN 1320, one half of the D-Lo and KC show on ESPN 1320, noon to 4 every single day on ESPN 1320. And you got Jason Jones of The Athletic in the building. And I think the last couple times, no, we did it after a loss. Last week was when they played Milwaukee. So it hasn't been wins every single time for the Kings when we record these things. And today was no different.
It just seems like they usually win.
It really does. I feel like the only time they lose is on Mondays. we need to stop this. We need to stop having Monday games. And there was no difference today.
They're going to get three Monday playoff games. Watch.
They lose to the Utah Jazz in Utah. 128-120, a tough loss. You know, some would even say a bad loss considering who wasn't playing for Utah. No Lauri Markkanen, no Colin Sexton, no Jordan Clarkson. It did not matter. The Kings still took the L to the Jazz. Tough loss. It concludes a four-game road trip where the Kings go 3-1. And this wasn't good, but I don't know, Jason. It's hard for me to get that worked up over. It was a weird little scheduling thing too, with them flying back on a day in between from DC to Utah, and then they got the back to back tomorrow. So, you know, it's one of those things that happened. They just didn't play well though. They didn't hit shots earlier in the game. It got started way too late for whatever reason.
You can't give up 40 in the first and get like 9 or whatever they.
I think they had 19 in the first quarter, and there was some type of stat where I forgot what it was, like a 7-minute stretch or something like that where they have 4 points. Come on, man. Come on.
To me, it's another one. You can't give up a 50-40 shooting night to whoever those guys playing were. I know who Rudy Gay is. I knew who Talen Horton Tucker is. I know who Walker Kessler is. Whoever the other dude was, I watched the League Pass version with the Utah announcers, and my man who led him in scoring, they were like, here's one of the great player development stories of the season. He barely has played, but look, he's ready. I'm like, who is this guy?
Abaji. 27 points, 8 of 14 from the field, 6 of 10 from beyond the arc. He was balling. He had a really good game.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it again. You can't – those 50-40s, you can't keep – you got to – can I get a 40-30? A 48-38?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
they win this with a 48-38.
Yes, they do. They also win this if they don't go 7 minutes without scoring. So yeah. I mean, that's what it like when you aren't a great team, like the Kings aren't a great defensive team, you will have games like this. You will have games where the shot doesn't fall, and if you're not defending at a high level, it's going to result in a loss. I thought that's what happened today. They came back, you know, to they were down 25 at one point, came back to take the lead in the third quarter, but it always felt like an uphill battle, and you were just trying to get to the finish line. It never felt like you had control, even when you took the lead late in the fourth quarter. I think they went up as many as four in the fourth quarter. Never felt like they had control. They were just trying to get to the finish line.
Yeah, Utah answered everything. Utah answered mm-hmm. them. And the thing is, the games with Utah this year have all been close, even when they, mm-hmm. you know. And so, and what I took from this game more so than the loss is the fact that that defense, Walker Kessler, was playing against Sabonis.
Mm.
That rookie did a hell of a job on him. And the reason why I say I take that, because we all know the playoffs are about matchups. Mm. And for as great as Sabonis is, he's not one of those guys with those crazy, like, 80-inch wingspans.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that's the reason why I think a Rudy Gobert would be problematic in a series, just because he's so big. Not to say that he's going to shut him down and block five shots every game, but those are the things I'm watching with the Kings now. Because I'm no longer, to me, they're going to win 50 games this season. They're going to be second or third in the West. I'm not worried about that. I've now shifted my focus on the Kings to going to the next season, being the postseason. What type of things can they look out for? What type of things are going to be problematic in the postseason? Or could be an issue. That's what I'm looking at now. I mean, because to me, yeah, they lost you, but you go 3-1 on a road trip. You know, it's not the worst thing ever. You know, I think pretty much every team in the NBA took a 3-1 road trip. So mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't, you know, overall, you know, I think if you isolate the game and say they sat these guys, so on and so forth, it's a problem. Maybe you overreact. You lose control. But to me, I'm at this point, I'm looking at, okay, we know they have a problem. You know, they can let guards get hot, and you know, defensively, big, you know, kind of rangy bigs could be problematic for the Kings. Because even with Sabonis, the Kings are not a big team up front,
mm-hmm.
so they don't have that big bully guy to say, you know what, are you giving my guy some problems? I'm gonna go. You know, let me get off my man real quick. They don't have that guy next to Sabonis, so. That's what I was looking at in the game more so than the result, because I'm like, you get down by as big as they were, you're going to run out of gas usually trying to come back from that, you know. And I know it's not Denver altitude, but it's still altitude. It's still in Utah, even when Utah's not a great, they're like about an average team this year, but even when Utah's not great, that place is never an easy place to win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to win tonight. After I tweeted it out at halftime, when they were down by 25 or whatever the case may be, and they got it to 16 at the half, and I was like, that's all they really needed to do. I think they're gonna pull this one out, because offense will wake up at some point. And I thought they'd, you know, just kind of force their way into a win against Utah, and they had their opportunity. They blew the lead. They were up four, like I said, late in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't get buckets. And Utah had an answer for everything. So I thought they were going to win this game from about halftime on, and it just didn't happen. De'Aaron Fox, he did everything that he could. 37 points on the night, 14 to 21 from the field, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. But aside from him, nobody really shot the ball well. Keegan Murray had 22 on the night. He was 8 of 16. That was a good look. But, yeah. I mean, look at Sabonis. Like you mentioned, he was 4 of 11. Harrison, 5 of 11. The bench was super inefficient and not good at all. Malik Monk had 15 points, but he was 4-15 from the field. Trey Lyles was 1-6, 0-4 for TD. Nobody outside of Fox and Keegan really stepped up tonight, and they were missing that one other player to produce at a relatively high level.
Yeah, even with De'Aaron was good in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't De'Aaron in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
He had some moments, but it, you know, I think, did we have like 30, 32 going into the fourth?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he hit a big three in the fourth. They needed like 14 points in the fourth quarter, De'Aaron. So, even as well as he played, it wasn't exactly what we're used to from him. And like I said, the way Sabonis played, you know, you don't have a chance. You know, De'Aaron gave you enough. Keegan did, but you needed one more guy, anybody, you know, to do something. And they just couldn't find it. They, you know, mm-hmm. and every time they did, you know, I mean, they get a little lead. You know, they leave Kessler. It was a Kessler for a three, and then like Kelly Olynyk. They kept on calling him on the Utah broadcast KO. And I had been watching. I was watching going between that watching Monday Night Raw, and I'm like, why is Kevin Owens in
Kevin Owens for three?
I was like, KO for three. I'm like, y'all can't call that is Kelly Olynyk. He is not KO. You cannot call him KO. I was so lost. He's the third KO. He's behind Kevin Owens and the old offensive lineman for the Raiders and the Jets. You know, what's his name? Osimile.
I never called him KO. Literally, I think the only KO I ever called was Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and even that KO was way behind, you know. So I'm just like, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it's not one of those games where you go, oh, my God, this is a trend, and you freak out. But, you know, the only trend is that 50-40. And if they're not hitting shots, that 50-40 is a problem. They came back, but once you get somebody getting to a groove, I mean, my man probably ain't going to get 27 in the next 3-4 games.
No, not like – I don't want to stall him out like – nah, you sleeping. He's not going to do that this year. I like Agbaji as a player, though. I think he's a sneaky, pretty good player. I haven't followed him this year. I don't know what his season has been like. I just know him from playing at Kansas and how much
yeah.
I like him at Kansas. But, I mean, he's a rookie. So, a career night tonight, you know, with 27 points.
Yeah.
And the way he shot the ball. Chris Dunn off the bench, 18 and 10.
Off the street. And my man was a couple of 10 days.
Yeah, Chris Dunn. That was something that I didn't expect to see with him going for 18 and 10, but he played really well. You know, one of the things that I did like at the end of this game that, like I said, for me, it seemed to be just one of those things. The Giants, the Kings couldn't get out of their way, right? They fouled down the stretch.
You're saying that this year, too, the Giants can't get out their way.
Well, I mean, you know, when you let Carlos Correa just walk and you don't do anything else, the Giants are actually going to be probably better than I give them credit for. That doesn't mean they're going to be good. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Aaron Judge on opening day for him, though.
Well, jeez. I mean, let him look, neither one of us compete with the Padres. I mean, the Dodgers didn't do much of anything this offseason. But
they really didn't have to.
We didn't have to. They lost the whole left side of their infield.
They'll be all right. It sucks that my man got tore his ACL, but the Dodgers have talent. The talent just doesn't show up in October most years. So,
well, I mean, we all know that's the case. But
except when they're playing the Giants, you know, they beat them, but you know, then they go out there and don't hit again.
But yeah, the Kings, man, they were fouling down the stretch of this game. De'Aaron in particular had a couple calls. He had one foul on Chris Dunn when he was attacking the basket late in the clock. The other one on Agbaji. I would have wanted – Mike Brown had two timeouts. I would have wanted him to challenge that. I don't know if he still had his challenge left at the time. I can't remember right now. But that was a tough call.
Yeah.
Marks on Agbaji on that last
And shot. Another pivotal moment was they get that take foul call. And you missed the free throw. You get the bucket, but that could have been a 4 or 5 point possession.
Yeah. Malik was like at 92% or something like that at one point in the season. It's now down to 88%. That's a little frustrating. I don't like my guards missing free throws, but.
No. I nothing irks me more than a guard, a ball handler, especially a guard who can't make free throws. It's like, what are you doing? Go play wide receiver.
And Malik can make his free throw. Like I said, he was a 90 at some point, but in the last like month or so, he's missed a few of them and he's gotten down to 88%. So.
Oh, the horror, an 88% free throw shooter. It's overreaction season. He shoots 88 from the line. Oh, Lord.
remember the days when I was begging for somebody to shoot 75%? I said, bro, just make 75%, please.
Oh, yeah. It was like, come on, De'Aaron. Please don't go 7 for 13 from the line this game. It's like you can't ask for calls, and then you get the calls, and you're going 8 for 14, 8 for 13 on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. So luckily, well, it seems like those days are behind us. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. But they've been shooting the free throw really well this year. But wasn't enough tonight. Like I said, the Kings fall 128-120. Jason, we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to, you know, pull back a little bit and look at this entire four-game road trip. This was actually, it was some good stuff. It was impressive. It ended in a not so kind way for the Sacramento Kings, but all in all, I'll take it. We'll talk about that. It's Kenny Caraway, ESPN 1320, Jason Jones of The Athletic, J Street Vibes. We'll be right back. Back here on J Street Vibes, Kenny Caraway, Jason Jones of The Athletic. We talked about the Kings losing 128-120 to the Utah Jazz, a very, very shorthanded Utah Jazz. That's not a loss you want. There wasn't really nobody of consequence playing. You know, I had my eye on Kelly Olynyk. It's not like he went off or anything, but I had my eye on him. But I did not expect Agbaji to go off the way he did. I did not expect Chris Dunn to play the way he did. Even Azubuike, 6 of 6 from the field, 13 points, 8 rebounds. Now, he's the project. I think that's who they were referring to. He's the G League project.
Yeah.
But they
were just like touting this as like a developmental game. You know, when you see teams that don't really want to win do this, like, we're going to give our stars the night off and give these young guys a chance. If we win, it's a bonus.
Yeah, they answered too. I talk about Olynyk. I kind of glossed over his game. He had a little mini Sabonis game, man. 19, 10, and 8 for Olynyk. He definitely was the catalyst.
That man went back to Gonzaga on us, you know, with that.
He really did. He really did. But Jason, they lost the game. They had won 7 straight road games coming in to tonight. They had won their first 3 games of the 4-game road trip. They end up going 3-1. On this really weird, it wasn't a Midwest trip. It wasn't an East Coast trip. They went all around the country. I don't know what the schedule makers were doing here. They had a Chicago, Brooklyn back-to-back in this situation. What the hell was that? What was that mess? They had to deal with that. They play Brooklyn, Washington. That's relatively normal. But then you go Washington to Utah, which leads into a back-to-back again. So they're going to end up playing 5 games in 7 nights, and they're not at the 5th game yet. But they ended this 4-game road trip 3-1. I don't want to say you couldn't ask for a better road trip, because 4-0 would have been a better road trip. But I mean, all in all, 3-1 road trip on this kind of funky setup, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I thought the Brooklyn game would be the trap game, you know, back to back. 3 time zones in what, 4 nights? That was the game I was like, okay, that might be the one. They got that one. You know, you let my boy Kuz go off, but
Kuz rolled his ankle within the first 3 seconds and then takes off after that.
He's like, man, my ankle hurts. Oh, but they ain't gonna guard me. Let me go ahead and get these shots off. But you know, that's not a really good team, and they're doing what you would expect a team in their situation to do on a road trip like this late in the year. They should not be going 1-3 on a trip like this. And they did, you know, they shouldn't go out there and lose to the Wizards. And, you know, but I mean, this is a weird time of the year to have a trip like this too.
Right.
To go Chicago, Brooklyn, you know, and then they did the thing where they stayed over the next day in DC. I guess they don't have Memphis Grizzly problems. They weren't trying to rush them out of D.C. and get them to Salt Lake City.
Right. Yeah, man. So, you know, the 4-0 would have been great, but I'll absolutely take 3-1. And keeping your eyes on the prize for the Kings. I know, you know, everybody's caught up, myself included, in what they could possibly do with, you know, maybe catching Denver and solidifying the 2 seed or whatever. This team, really, the most important thing for them, in my opinion, is making sure you have home court advantage in that first round. And they went a long way with this 3-1 road trip and pretty much locking that down. I think the Kings, I saw a couple of things, like if they have, how many games do they have now? I think they have 11 games left now. And if they went 4-7 in those 11 games, the fifth seed, which is the Clippers, would have to go like 11-1 or whatever they could. Like, it's
they should be okay.
Yeah,
their main thing is, can they, you know, Memphis is going to get Ja back, and they're a game behind Memphis right now. I mean, I just don't think that right now the Suns are equipped to catch them.
Right.
I think for me, the idea of the Suns making a real push was predicated on them having Kevin Durant. And so I just think, you know, this has been a year where the stars are just aligned for them.
Yeah.
You know, things are just falling right into place. And, you know, now they can, obviously, you've still got an outside chance at number one. I don't think they'll catch Denver. I think Denver might be getting out of the funk. I think Denver picked the wrong. No, they had their, what was it, 5-6 game losing streak. I don't think they're going to stumble all the way to the end. You know, the thing is now, Memphis has won 3 in a row without Ja. You probably get, from what you said, they hope to get Ja back on Wednesday. So just, you know, can you keep pace, you know, and then be there in the end to maybe to overtake, you know, try to get to 2. But then, even then, you still got to see how this thing plays out below them, because who knows, maybe you're better off at 3 in the first round, depending on who the 6th seed is.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I felt, you know, when there was an outside chance, and there still is, but, you know, an outside chance of the 1 seed, I said, man, to me, the way I look at it, the sweet spot in the Western Conference playoffs right now is the 2 or 3 seed. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got to the 1, you'd probably be facing the winner of Phoenix and the Clippers. And I mean, damn, I don't want them in the second round. The sweet spot is that 2-3 spot where, you know, whoever you play in the first round, you got to deal with them. But say you were able to win that series, then you're probably getting to Memphis. And I just think Memphis is cooked. I'd much rather play Memphis than Phoenix or the Clippers if the Kings were to be able to get past that first round. So
And because the bottom of the West is so crazy, even if you're 1, think about this. 1 could be Oklahoma City. 1 could be Dallas. 1 could be the Lakers. So, you know, and I think even with Denver have been in control of the West most of the year, I don't think there's a team down there in that 7-10 range going, if we get Denver, we're shook. They're like, we'll take our chances with that. But you could say that 2-1 through 4.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole West, everybody feels confident against everybody, I would think.
Yeah, I think this is a year truly where you go into every series. And like I said, to me, when I look at the top 10, top 11 in the West, because right now the Lakers are a half game out of 10. I think of the teams.
Shout out to the Kings for doing the Lord's work. Shout out to the Kings for doing the Lord's work through that game in Utah. Get out of here.
They ain't do a damn thing for the Lord with that game. That's why I hope they got to go to Memphis for that. You know, but you look at that, I wouldn't, if you're a higher seed, I don't think you're afraid of Memphis. I mean, if OKC gets in, but maybe not Utah, but I mean, they haven't gone away all year.
Yeah. Like you said, Utah's a tough place to play. I don't think Utah.
But they're going to make you earn it.
Yeah, they're well coached. They're a tough-minded team for sure.
But you catch a Dallas in the first round, they don't guard me or you.
That's the sweet spot.
You know, but
that's the team.
But you know, but dealing with Luke, you know, well, Kyrie's in a boot right now, so who knows where they might fall. Who knows what's going on with them?
Did he get hurt again tonight? Because he played tonight. He played tonight.
Yeah, but he got hurt. He left in the boot. I saw a replay. He's running around, cutting off a screen, I believe it is. Dylan Brooks steps on the back of his heel. Dylan Brooks is an outright menace to society.
He really is.
He out here pushing cameramen.
He's wild. That's a wild dude, man.
He hit a man in the nuts this season. I mean, he is straight up menace. I mean,
wild boy right there.
He come into the games in denim shorts and a vest and a puff vest. So I mean, he's just wild. I mean, maybe this is what Canada's about. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a wild boy. But Dallas is the sweet spot. I'd take Minnesota over Dallas. Like if they play in a game,
fans, I mean, depending on health, yeah.
Yeah, I just Dallas.
It's also kind of like, what if Cat comes back and ruins everything? Right.
There's that too. But I mean, man, it's crazy. Like all these from 6 to 10, even we'll throw the Lakers in there at 11. I mean, all these guys are. There's only one team over 500 in that whole group.
It's just a damn cluster. Well, it's just I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, hard. I just don't know. And you know, and if what Utah did tonight, they do again. Utah is not exactly trying to get in.
You think they're not trying to, like, I think at this point they're just kind of doing whatever.
Yeah, I think they get in great.
Yeah, they're not tripping.
They get in great, but you know what? Going into the offseason with like their 300 first round picks, it's probably easier to trade if you say, hey, I got a lottery pick here, than it is to say, I'm going to trade the 15th pick. Even though it's only a couple of spots, you know, it was easier to say, hey, I got 11. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I think they'll take whatever they get, you know. So I think I kind of feel the same way about OKC. If they get in, great, but, you know, they're not going, you know, they got the second pick. Was it the second pick from last year's draft who hasn't played?
Yeah, Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, they got Chet Holmgren, who, you know, who before his injury was going to challenge Keegan for the greatest summer league player in history. And, you know, and then, yeah. So, I mean, I just think it's going to be weird, because this is a year where from 5 to 8, with exception, like I said, maybe of a Utah or OKC, the bottom seed team winning would not be a wild thing. Like that 4-5 is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, that 4-5, that's the one right there. That's the one. That's
If you're 2-3, you're going cool, because you mean to tell me there's a chance that the Clippers, the Suns, and the Nuggets could both be gone before I could start?
Right. Yeah, no. I'll take that every day. Two of those, like if you were able to get to the conference final, two of those three teams are gone. You ain't got to deal with them.
I think you take that. So, I mean, it's going to be wild, but I think if you're the Kings, you want to be two, because one thing about Memphis is that, healthy or not, they are tough to beat in Memphis. The last time they had a home playoff game in Memphis, they had Mike Brown down by 50.
Yeah. I went to two.
Last time Mike Brown coached the playoff game, remember?
Right. No, he won. He coached them all the way to the Western Conference Finals, didn't he? I think he won.
Kerr came back. I'm blanking. I know the last time he was in Memphis,
I feel like he might have coached game one of the Western Conference Finals too. Matter of fact,
I forget. But I know when his last
time. He won a couple after that.
Because that was the time where my buddy reported that Steph said something about Memphis, and then he's like, I ain't say that. And it became the bulletin board. Steph was like, fun times in the NBA.
You gotta love this league. Well, I'll speak for myself. I shouldn't say if I'm the Kings. I want the Kings to get the two, because I think the Warriors are going to end up staying in the six spot. They got a game against Dallas on Wednesday, which is going to be a pretty big game at Dallas. But I think the Warriors are finding a way to stay in the sixth spot. And I don't want to play the Warriors. I'm just not interested. I think the Kings are better than the Warriors. I think they'd beat them in a series, but I don't want to play Steph Curry. So just to make sure that's not the case, try and get that 2 seed and take on Dallas or Minnesota or whoever at this point. Like you never know.
Yeah, I'm
for that one.
Yeah, you know, I think if you got to look at that, like I said, 7 through 10, yeah, if the Warriors, you don't want, you know, just with the hype, the possibility that Steph goes off. And the thing is, if things kind of hold true to where they are, if you stay in that spot and, you know, and you get the 7 seed, you probably avoid the Lakers, because the Lakers are probably going to be 8 if they get in. And if you can avoid AD, LeBron, Steph, Clay, and play, you know, even though I like them, Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert.
Mm.
Or you can play Kyrie and Luka, who, even as good as they are, they will play the style of basketball you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dallas ain't going to try to get physical with nobody.
Right.
They're going to try to get to 142.
Right.
So, I mean, in terms of matchups, and the playoffs are about matchups, that's a matchup I think that the Kings would love. And I think that would favor them, because I think they can – Dallas can't beat them. I think it would be hard for Dallas to beat them at what they do over seven games. Largely, they don't have any size up front to deal with Sabonis.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, the only time JaVale McGee plays is against the Kings. So JaVale McGee would definitely be out there.
That's my man, JaVale. I'm the only person.
I like JaVale. I think he's a – I sincerely think he's, like, a valuable piece to a good team. I don't know why Dallas doesn't play him. Like, that kind of baffles me.
Yeah, because I mean, the one way you bother Sabonis is with size. So it would make sense why they would play him. But, yeah, because, I mean, even when the Warriors don't have size, I mean, Looney is, like, not as – no, ain't the same. Neither is Draymond, but like you said, it's the Steph factor.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, then again, Luka could go for 16 and 20. He did it before.
Luka needs to be in shape, which it doesn't really matter. He's kids buckets when he's not in shape, but he's not even playing right now. So, yeah. We'll see what happens with Luka. I'm looking right here. Yeah, JaVale McGee, DNP CD tonight. I don't understand it, but whatever. Whatever. Kings finished the four-game road trip once again, 3-1, and they come home tomorrow. You guys are probably listening to this in the morning. Tonight, they come home to play the Boston Celtics at the Golden One Center. We'll preview that match.
Buck Boston.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Let's go. Sorry, Jesse. But we'll talk about that. On the other side is Jason Jones, Kenny Caraway, J Street Vibes. We'll be right back. J Street Vibes. What's going on, everybody? We're back at it. Kenny Caraway of ESPN 1320. Jason Jones of The Athletic talking about the Kings. They lost 128-120 to the Utah Jazz to close out a four-game road trip. And now they've got a back-to-back where waiting for them at home. I think they were already in Sacramento just hanging out. The Boston Celtics come to town. Boston, who – I don't want to say they're like struggling, because that's not the case, but you know, they're trying to figure some things out. They were able to move back into the number two seed in the Eastern Conference with the Sixers loss on Monday night. But the Sixers at 49-23, and you know, this is one of them ones right here. This is one of them games. You know, you got to test yourself against Milwaukee last week, weren't able to bring home the victory. And now you get another opportunity to test yourself against one of the top teams in not only the Eastern Conference, but in the entire NBA, the Boston Celtics at home. I'm anxious to see what the Kings got, man, what they can do.
Yeah, you know, second night of a back-to-back. What is it, 3-4? Another one of them type of situations.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a what I always, you know, call a built-in loss. You're like, man, three games, four nights, three time zones. Started in D.C., end up back home. And they always say that first game after a road trip is kind of like a road game. And for the Kings, this is a road game kind of for them. They get home late. Yeah, they get to go home.
Yeah.
You know, as we're recording, I imagine they're close to being home at this point, or not that, you know. They should. You know, I imagine that all the guys will be home by 1 a.m. or so. But even then, you get off. You know, you play the game. You know, adrenaline still might be going. That whole deal. It's not a long flight, but like I said, you started in D.C. on what, Sunday?
Yeah.
So this is, you know, it's a. It could be, you know, in those games, or I don't know what it is about the schedule. Why is Boston almost 9 times out of 10 sitting in Sacramento waiting on the Kings?
I don't know. Boston don't even play. I think they don't play till like Friday. Like, what was the point of them having to be, you know, in Sacramento just chilling? Like, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah, I mean, the one time they didn't get that situation, they had the weather. They came out here all late. They beat the Kings and then got DeMarcus traded.
I'm looking at the Sixers, the Celtics schedule. And yeah, after the Kings tomorrow, they don't play again until Friday. Why did this game have to be a back-to-back? Like, why couldn't this game be on Wednesday? What the hell was this all about?
Maybe Boston requested to get out of Sacramento. I don't know.
Jackasses. Utah beat the Celtics the other night. Now, it wasn't the same Utah team that played tonight. Markkanen was there. Clarkson was there. But Utah with two good wins back-to-back at the crib, beating Boston. So, Boston, they've had a day or two to stew on that one. The Kings have their attention for sure. They'll be ready to play. And it's going to be one of those things where I got to see the Kings. Everything that's going on, we understand. We get it. You got 2 days rest coming up. Get your mind right. Be ready to play. Can't have another 19-point quarter. You can't be down 25 to Boston because you will not be coming back in that situation. I don't care how good your offense is. Come out ready to play. Come out ready to play against these Celtics, man.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, you know, Tatum will be ready to go. You know, both of these teams need this game. Is it going to be if we lose it, it doesn't matter. You know, I think, you know, Boston will be looking ahead to saying, you know, a second round matchup with Philly. I'd rather deal with Joel Embiid if I got to go 7 games 4 times in Boston than 4 times in Philly. You know, so I think they'll be motivated, and I think they've, you know, but a month or so ago, some people were calling them the best team in the league.
Yeah,
and now it's kind of like, well, what's going on? You know, and I'm not a big, you know, read what the people, you know, kind of what the people are saying. People are like, well, maybe it's because their coach is inexperienced, and all type of stuff, you know. But this is, I mean, your Kings are at home. I just wonder where their legs will be. For the Kings, just because you are down a starter with Herter, you had to exert a lot of energy to get back into this game tonight. And Boston's rested and good.
Yeah.
Boston went, probably had barbecue tonight, you know, probably went by sauce.
You know, they were there, sauced or something.
Probably had Yard House for lunch, sauce dinner. You know,
they were at Echo and Rig. That's where they're at. They were in the Sawyer at the steakhouse, Echo and Rig. That's where they were.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody was probably also went by Macy's, you know, did a little shopping, you know.
Maybe they helped some gym boys. Maybe Grant Williams was like, I don't want all this stuff, man. You know, let me walk around. And he walks around and sees gym boys. Maybe he has some gym boys.
Yeah. Maybe he's like, I've heard of Chipotle. I don't need that stuff in my life. Oh, this is different. So. But yeah, it's always kind of, like I said, the built-in losses, the weird scheduling quirks. This is a weird one. You know, to have a home road back-to-back is not crazy. A home road back-to-back at the end of a road trip.
That's cold. That's cold-blooded, man. They did the games like that.
Oh, yeah, you just got – I mean, and the Kings have gotten these before because I've been on those trips where I'd be like, I'm tired as hell. So I know they tired.
Yeah, that's a Kobe. And the Kobe says, once again, Boston don't play till Friday. Why didn't they play this game on Wednesday? Kings don't play till Friday either. Why did this game have to be played on Tuesday? Can we change it now? I mean, we see what's going on. Can we change it now?
I would say for national TV, but this wasn't no national TV game.
Yeah, it's national TV-ish. It wasn't supposed to be, though.
That's what I mean. When the season came out, they weren't like, this is going to be our TNT Tuesday game. So let's go ahead and do that.
Celtics ain't played till Saturday. For whatever reason, they forced this game on Tuesday. But, you know, it's whatever. Here's the thing. I hear everything you say. You're right. You're not telling any lies about it. But I want to see the Kings come out and play basketball. I don't want to hear all that other stuff. I don't want to hear.
I agree with you.
Milton's like, you guys are a good team. This is the NBA. Come out ready to play. Come out ready to hoop and execute. And, you know, it's going to test your mental. It's going to test how tough you are mentally. And, you know, you want to pass this test. It's not an indictment on who you are as a team. I think we're past that point with the Kings. The Kings are a good team. They're gearing up for the playoffs. But you would like to see them come out ready to play tomorrow.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. You know, mentally just look like you're in it. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not win the game just because Boston's good. But just don't come out there and, like you said, don't get down like 42-19.
Can't have that. Because you ain't coming back this time. It's not happening.
Yeah, and I think in that case, considering, you know, the end of a road trip, or like I said, you know, pretty much tomorrow, this game is a road trip game to me, because it's the second of a back to back and all that. This type of game, if it got ugly, I can see Mike Brown saying, "I'm not gonna wear these guys out tonight. We got a nice little break coming up. Let me go ahead and get these other guys some run. There's no need for me to wear these guys out to try to come back against a really good team." So I remember Phil Jackson do a thing where he would say, "Hey, I'm gonna give you guys 4 minutes. If you don't make a run, I'm pulling everybody." It would not shock me that if it got ugly, Mike Brown just says, "You know, I think we saw Ty Lue do it this year in Denver one night where they were down like 25 or 30 in the first half. He pulled everybody at halftime."
Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't get ugly. Let's hope it gets ugly the other way. Let's hope that Boston is struggling and the Kings are up by, I don't know, 30.
Yeah, I will never
30, 15. I'll take 15. How about
that? Yeah, I'm an LA guy. I will never weep over a Boston Celtics loss. Even though the Kings let LA down.
We out here playing checkers or playing chess, not checkers, baby.
That's why those little Bruins stole the beam. Is the beam blue? Why did they do that?
You know, everybody trying to ride the wave. Everybody trying to ride the wave. You know, it's all good though.
Let it be known that was UCLA, because in UCLA, they're professional biters.
Well, Northwestern tried to do the same. Princeton did the same thing. Everybody that was at the goal, they all tried to ride the wave. It's cool, though. It's cool. We look, you know, everybody trying to ride the wave. They know the beam is the hottest thing going in the game right now. It's all good. We're not bitter about it. I don't have no problem with UCLA. Isn't that your big bro anyway? Or no, your big bro. They're little bro.
You know, we have, you know, we're Golden Bears, they're Bruins, we're Navy Blue, they're Baby Blue. Their fight song is even our fight song.
Is there anything that Cal dominates UCLA in?
Shit, rugby? Nowadays, not much of anything. Rugby?
Rugby, that sounds good.
I'm not going to get into
They were equal a lot for, you know, for the most part during basketball.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole, well, our chemistry department, we have more, you know, Nobel Prize. No one cares about that. And right now, all I know is that right now, Cal is down bad in almost every sport, the major sports. I have faith in the women's program. I think Coach Sharma is going to get them going in the right direction. But, yeah, all UCLA got for us is a check coming up. They got to cut that check for going to the Big Ten.
Oh, that's just – I don't know what they're going to do with the Pac-12 at that point. Goodness gracious. Only hope is to bring in San Diego State and Fresno State. And even then, it's just going to be a glorified Mountain West at that point.
Well, I guess they say San Diego State, SMU.
SMU?
Dallas. It's in Dallas.
Yeah, so what? Dude, if you don't want to stop playing.
San Diego State
and Fresno State in there. That's the best thing.
This is the snobbish part. The conference doesn't think – Fresno State qualifies academically to be worthy as to be part of the conference.
Well, I mean, they're probably right, but still. And I like Fresno State. I like, you know, Valley Champs. You know, I got no problem with, you know, I got love for them. I got family down there. I got ties. I got love for Fresno State. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not Stanford, but so what? So what? You're about to say Bolivian, as Mike Tyson once said.
Yeah, I would watch some Arizona San Diego State games. But I think their thing is, like, you're trying to figure out what teams do you take. San Diego State, SMU. I've read Colorado State. But pretty much, here's the deal.
Colorado State just got backhanded by Sac State this year in football.
Hey, Colorado wasn't much better, I guess. I don't know.
I think
here's where we are in college football. You might as well go to the soccer model and have tiers. Because if you're not in the SEC or the Big Ten, what are you? I mean, if you're in the ACC, if you're not Clemson, who are you?
Damn.
I mean, it's just not fun anymore. I mean, I'm not looking forward to, you know, never mind my whole conference allegiances. The hell do I want to watch UCLA play Rutgers for?
Come on, man. Ain't nobody gonna be checking for UCLA and Purdue. Like, nobody's checking for that.
Bro. I'm waiting, and me knowing USC folks, I'm waiting for the first. Why did they schedule us to play at Purdue in November? That's why we lost. You know, it wasn't fair. You know, I'm waiting for that. We had to go. I don't know where Piscataway is. I had to go all the way. You know, and
that's gonna be so trash.
I mean, in the I don't even care about the Rose Bowl now. I'm like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
So then again, Cal, I take Cal in any bowl.
The Pac-12. Just like if anybody left, like SC and UCLA, you know that matters. But if Cal and Stanford left the Pac-12, like the Pac-12 wouldn't be the same. I can't believe that they're doing that. And I mean, it was already bad enough when they brought in Utah and Colorado, but this is how do you lose UCLA and USC and just keep going?
Like I said, I think Cal should just, and Stanford should just join the Ivy League and just have a nerd conference.
Might as well at this point.
Might as well just make all the nerd schools. You know. Poach a bunch of nerdy schools, you know, Ivy League schools, and like go through with, like, I don't know who else you could get who's already not in the conference, but just find all the nerd schools.
Cal State East Bay, that prestigious university in Hayward.
They got football now?
No, basketball only. We will join that conference for basketball only, much like St. Mary's and Cal State Northridge.
There might have to be a hybrid model like that where it's like, these schools are a basketball conference and they do something else. And I don't know what they're going to do, man. Mm. I just kind of say that's why I watch wrestling.
No doubt.
I can't even get with college football. I mean, I was done when back in the day when Aaron Rodgers was still at Cal before I realized he was nuts. when they were 10-1 and then Mac Brown went on TV and cried.
Mm.
It said Cedric Benson, rest in peace, Cedric. But, you know, he went, Cedric deserved to be in a big game. And some voter voted a 10-1 Cal team whose only loss was a road loss by less than 7 at USC, who was number one, voted Cal 25th. And that knocked them, stuff like that knocked them out of the chance at a bigger bowl game. So I was done with college football after that. I said, this thing is rigged.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the NBA isn't rigged because the Kings are good this year. And if they do rig it for the Kings. So there was I said at the beginning of the year, remember when the guy, well, I don't know who it was, the guy or girl, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But there was two bets placed on the Kings to win the NBA championship. I think one was placed on them to get to the finals and the other was placed on them to win the championship. I said, if this happens, the NBA is absolutely rigged. It is absolutely rigged. And you know what? Go ahead. If it means the Kings can win a championship, go ahead and rig this whole goddamn thing. I don't care. I don't give a damn.
You're like, they owe us, so we'll take every fixed call. You'd be like, is that Tim Donaghy out there officiating?
Absolutely.
Like,
I think the guy put down like $10,000 on the Kings to win the championship.
Man.
I said, you don't do that without having a script, bro.
Yeah. The script, yeah. We got to get the NBA script for this year. AD was like, really? I'm hurt again? Zion's like, really? Really? This is the script?
If the Kings win the championship, NBA's rigged. You don't go around putting 10K on the Kings to win a championship without some kind of inside knowledge.
Yeah, he had the script. He has the script. That means he had the script. He was like, Zion's going down in 3-2, check. LeBron breaks record, hurt in a week, check. He had the whole script. He has the script.
If it goes down that way and it is rigged, it's the greatest show I've ever seen. All right, Kings win a championship. It's the greatest show. Give him an Emmy. Give him an Oscar, whatever it is. Give him a daytime Emmy, whatever. What a show the NBA is if the Kings go ahead and win the NBA championship.
Then Vivek comes out and admits it's all rigged and everyone goes crazy.
Jay, before we get out of here, man, what you working on, man?
I'm working on a lot of WrestleMania content for next week, going into Mania. And got a couple of feature projects in the mix, some media type stuff. So y'all be on the lookout. But yeah, a lot of my focus this week is on WrestleMania type stuff. I had an interview today with a prominent WWE superstar. Mm. And have another one coming up this week. May have another. I may have three WWE interviews.
Oh my goodness. He's basically writing for WWF magazine at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much at this point. Yeah, I'm pretty much a mark right now for the business.
No doubt, man. No doubt. D-Lo and KC all week long, from noon to four on ESPN 1320. Check that out on the Odyssey app. Check that out on YouTube and on Twitch. We're all over the place. You can check us out there. And you can check out Jason Jones. Once again, you'll be hearing this Tuesday morning. Check him out today on D-Lo and KC as he makes his weekly appearance. We talk about the NBA, the Kings, and everything in between at that point. So we'll be back on Thursday. It's Jason Jones. It's Kenny Caraway. J Street Vibes, man. We up out of here. Peace.